Bob and Charlene Steinkamp, founders of Rejoice Marriage Ministries, invite you into their living room in Pompano Beach, Florida, for a telephone conference call. Let's join other men and women from across the land who are seeking God's restoration of their marriage.
We welcome you once again to South Florida on a hot Sunday afternoon like most of our nation. And we're thrilled to have you here. And we have three guests with us already and possibly a fourth coming when he can make it. But he is a pastor, so it's understandable if he runs a bit late today. But we're thrilled to have you here. Honey, you want to introduce the people we have?
Yes. We're thrilled to have Melanie with us, Chris, and Kim. And Kim, all of you may know her because she's from Nebraska, if that rings any bells. And she has she is one of our prayer partners and writes to many people and is a real volunteer and has helped our ministry for several months and years and does devotionals. Chris also has done a child's devotional, a couple, and a couple of the other devotionals, and we're thrilled to have Chris with us today. And Melanie, I just happened to call yesterday, and it worked out that she was available this afternoon, and so we're thrilled to have Melanie here also. And all of them have children, and we'll probably hear them talk about them maybe through our teaching, but we're thrilled to have them. And this is a special time to have you all come into our home because Sundays and Saturdays and Sundays used to be so difficult for me, especially if our children were with Bob and I was here alone. And so I chose, Bob and I talked about when to have our next telephone conference, and I chose, instead of doing it on a Monday night, is to do it on a Sunday afternoon when there are probably so many standards that are alone, wondering what to do, and feeling hopeless, helpless, and defeated. And so this is for you. If you are that person that the Lord has just had me convicted to do it today, we hope this will encourage you today that you are not alone. And we wanted to do this special on an afternoon when it's lonely sometimes, when everybody's out with their families and you feel like you're an outcast at this moment. So let's open up with prayer and we'll get started. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for this afternoon. We thank you for your love, your faithfulness, your glory and honor. Lord, we worship you and praise you. And we probably have all been in church today just praising you and worshiping you and crying out to go touch our husbands and wives and family members who have not surrendered their hearts to you. And Lord, we are just praying today that you, while we talk and share, and as I'm able to teach a little bit about the promises of God, I just pray that as we are through here, as we have Beverly in our living room praying and interceding for all of us and for all of you by name, Lord, we are just praying that you will truly just go on that other side of that mountain that we're all facing, and especially these dear standards are facing, and that you will go touch them, their beloved special husband or wife, and these prodigal children. And Lord, we just pray that you will go touch these children, and that you will minister to them, you'll minister to the husbands and wives, and have them come to their senses this very afternoon, that you would go and you'd break the chains of bondages of alcohol, of drugs, or pornography, but especially adultery. And we pray that the ones that have, we've got standards that are listening right in here and say, I was the one that fell into sin. Lord, you've forgiven them. You've changed their heart, their life. But now we've got a spouse who will not forgive and will not forget and wants to hold a grudge and never, never let them get back into their home because of the hardness of their heart now. So Lord, we pray for those people too. We just pray that you will touch all of these special loved ones, and may you move mightily to remove all the circumstances this very day. Touch their hearted hearts, soften them, turn the heart of flesh, and may we have hundreds of phone calls today that will start the reconciliation, the restoration, the rebuilding of these marriages on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And we'll just give you the praise and the glory. Now we have many of our standards that if you will go to our chapel page that are fighting cancer or their families are fighting illnesses, we pray you go there regularly to the chapel page and pray at least once a week because we update it frequently. But today, I picked up the phone and called another lady to join us today, and she has a restored marriage, but she's standing in the gap for their son who has not accepted the Lord and is battling. And he right now is in a struggle right now in the hospital, and I want you all to pray for Stephen and pray for his heart to be touched, but most of all that his physical body would be healed and God would intervene in Stephen's life in the hospital this very weekend due to circumstances that should never have happened. But Lord, we are standing for not only spouses, but we're standing for adult children and teenagers that have fallen into sin and they make foolish mistakes. So let us pray for Stephen also. And I am just told that we have, I've got to admit, Bob, I think we have to admit that we have our first time, we have our oldest granddaughter here, and she's running between two offices letting me know how what's going on with Bob in the technical part, and we have...
Did she tell you I want to talk?
Yes. Well, she told me we have 96 guests here. In our
make it 99 now.
Okay, Bob, we'd love to have you talk.
Gee, thanks, honey. My wife loves to talk, and I get a word in edgewise once in a while. We have something new we added to the website yesterday. If you have a question that you would like to have us address on a conference call, this is only going to be open during conference calls, and we can't promise we'll be able to handle every question, but we're looking for trends in questions. What are your questions that Charlene can maybe look up scripture and answer as a group? So we have a new form you can fill out, and it will come to us even while we speak, and the address is easy to remember, rejoiceministries.org. On the end of the address, put a /, and the word ask, A-S-K. So it's rejoiceministries.org, our regular webpage, and just type the /, and ask, A-S-K. Or if it's easier, you can go to our homepage and go to the ticker at the bottom, and it will say on the black ticker with, yeah, I think it's yellow letters, ask a question or submit a question during conference call. So if you have something you really would like for Charlene to address, just send that in to us, and it'll be active for the next hour and a half while we're on. And what we don't handle here will be considered for Charlene Cares or for the question and answer page. But this is a new tool that Nate worked yesterday to develop for us. So this is literally hot off the press.
That is awesome. Well, let me get everyone to share a little bit about themselves so we know who's going to be talking with us a little bit.
Let me bop in again.
Oh, okay.
Melanie is from Florida, but if you don't know, Florida is so big. You're probably what, Melanie, 10 or 12 hours from us?
Yes, I'm in the central time zone, actually.
That's
up in the panhandle of Florida.
You're in South Alabama, actually.
Practically.
Don't consider Florida, but Florida is a long state, and then you have to drive west a long way to get there. So we've never met her, even though we're in the same state.
Yes.
Melanie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was actually blessed to be raised by two wonderful Christian parents. My parents have been married for 55 years, and I grew up in church, going to church 3 times a week. And when I got to college, I rebelled a little bit and happened to meet my husband during that time. And so when he met me, he knew that I was a believer, but I forgot all about the whole equally yoked business that my parents had preached to me my whole life, and I married a man who was new to, never really had ever gone to church other than funerals and weddings, and but he, one of the conditions I laid down when we got married, I said, you have to always go to church with me and never complain, and he did for a good 17 years, and in fact, when I finally started seeing him really growing in his faith, and watching our children growing in their faith and everything seemed to be wonderful. We had a really great marriage. I think Satan stepped in and said, wait a minute, this, you know, they're doing too well here and I've got to do something about it. And he separated us geographically through my husband's career. And my husband fell into all the traps that most prodigals fall into. And I won't go into all the personal details, but it's been a rough road, but I have been standing for over 3 years now, and recently so many wonderful things have happened. I could go on and on about them, but I will let someone else talk, but I'm excited to tell you all the things that are happening in my life.
Praise the Lord. Now, do you have a special promise yet, or are you going to still look it up?
I do. One of the things I told you when I talked to you yesterday was that my life had been so good up until the last 3 years that even though I believed in God, I never had to really trust Him for anything important. I could trust my family or money or my husband. I never really trusted God, and when everything fell apart and I couldn't trust any of those other things, all I had was God to trust. And the verse that kept coming to me was in Isaiah. It's chapter 40, verse 31. And it says, "But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." And that just told me I had to trust the Lord and keep trusting Him, and He would bring me strength. And that's exactly where I am right now. He has strengthened me, and I'm being blessed and seeing incredible things that God is doing in my life and the life of others.
You know, that there's many versions, and Tim and I are getting into reading different versions, and I have all these different Bible versions, but I've been pulling up with Gateway, pulling up the different versions.
Yes.
And one version says, "But those who hope in the Lord..." Or those who wait in the Lord, or
right.
Those who trust in the Lord. So that is also a neat scripture. I love that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris.
Well, I can shadow much of Melanie's story. I grew up with great parents who took me to church every Sunday. I rebelled when I was a teenager. And when I was 19, I restored my commitment to God, and He took care of me. But then, you know, like her, I picked a man who had no background with going to church or with Jesus, but he agreed to go to church with me too, and we weren't equally yoked, and we rushed into a marriage. And within a few months, I discovered certain things that I did not know that were a problem. But even at that early period, before we even had children, God spoke to me and said, "Don't leave. You made a promise. Don't leave." And since that time, I've been standing. And over the years, we've had 3 children. We've been married now 8 years. And things have happened where it's led to him filing divorce papers on me, even though I should have been maybe filing them on him.
World-wise, but not spiritually.
World-wise, right. But God told me no, and
right.
So I never did. And in that time, I found Rejoice Ministries, which has been, I think that was about 2 years ago I found this ministry, which has been an incredible help to me. And we are still married, so
that's
I just praise God for that, and I just stand on His promise that He is going to restore our marriage and our family and my husband. And the one verse that came to me one night just to promise me that He's going to restore my husband is from Amos. It's Amos chapter 9, verse 11. I opened up one night and it said, "In that day I will restore David's fallen tent. I will repair its broken places, restore its ruins, and build it as it used to be." And that spoke to me and just said, "I'm going to make him the way I made him when I first made him. And I'm going to clear away all this dirt and grime."
Mm.
And, you know, it wasn't too long after that I got the passage about refining silver, which just spoke to me again that, you know, this is a long process. So
It's a lifetime process. But, you know, if you think about the promises of God, the one scripture that I have had in being married for as many years as Bob and I have been, 42 years, I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where it says, "For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But as it is, they are holy. And I just think that's such a powerful scripture for the ones that have married. which we need to teach in our churches to seek the Lord, to find the right spouse. But how many, and you two are not the unusual ones, but there are many, many that marry that are unequally yoked, or they're in rebellion, or you're doing your own thing, and the Lord is not the priority at that time, and you marry the one that you should not have married. But God says once you're married, it's on forever. So praise the Lord. So, you know, you've made a covenant, you've made a promise, you've got a marriage for life, so now God's going to turn it all around to good. And that's what he's telling you guys. And that's what he's telling you standers that are listening, because you've got to understand God does speak. And we're going to talk about that in just a couple more minutes after we introduce all our guests. Kim, thank you for coming back again. We appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, because there's other people that don't know you.
Okay. Unfortunately, the two ladies were talking about unequally yoked. Unfortunately, my husband and I were equally yoked. We grew up as churchgoers, but not Christians. God was not a big part of our lives, and we lived by the world's standards. And if you looked at us from the outside, we were this happy married couple, but unfortunately, some things happened, and Satan came in and got a hold of me and said, you can't live like this, and so I divorced my husband. God kept speaking to me and speaking to me and speaking to me, and it wasn't until a couple of years after I divorced my husband that I finally let Jesus into my heart and repented of the mistakes I had made in the marriage. By then, it was a little bit too late for my husband, and he had since moved on and is now in a covenant marriage. We have two grown children who are both married, and I am really looking forward to a grandbaby in the winter.
Kim is going to join my club of being a grandmother.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So we're thrilled. And last but not least, as one of our guests, we have Eric, and we're thrilled to have Eric with us. And he's representing all the men that are standards. Eric, welcome. What we want to do is just to share a little bit about yourself and your family, and if you have one special promise that was special to you, or if not, right now, y'all are going to get another promise for us in the future, in a few minutes. But do you have any? Eric, introduce yourself.
Hello. I'm Eric. I'm a Lutheran, I'm a minister, and both my wife and I were...
I already told them you were Lutheran, that's okay.
Okay.
You almost said it.
We're church growers, grew up in the church, and been married 30 years, but due to problems that I faced with my church, being that it closed and I sort of got dislocated, we ultimately got separated, and just this past April, my wife, filed for divorce. I've been following Rejoice Ministries for the past 4 years, and got to say that it has really helped me in redirecting and getting more on a greater devotional and prayer life. And so right now I'd say in God's Word for probably around 45 minutes to an hour each day, and that has nothing to do with sermon preparation that's my personal prayer time. And of a promise I got, sort of one that was a roundabout way, but I did receive one time a Chinese fortune cookie at a time when I was praying the Lord for guidance in my stands. And the fortune that I received in my fortune cookie was, you and your wife will be happy in your life together. Mm. So
that's what we talk about, those signs and wonders that the Lord does that we can't explain, but God is constantly saying, when all these standards are saying, I need help for it, am I really, really supposed to stand? This is getting worse instead of better. And literally, those signs and wonders that God gives us are so powerful. And that's about all you need, Eric, you know? I mean, what's the chances of anything like that happening except God speaking to you?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, okay, what always got me was it said you and your wife, and so it didn't apply to half the other people that could have received it.
Right. Well, we're thrilled to have you with us. What I think I'm going to do right now is I'm going to teach a few minutes, and if everybody wants to get some their Bible or pen or pencil, if you want to write down any scriptures, but what I want to do is teach on is about God's special and promises that he gives us. And there are so many promises in the Bible, and we could discuss how many there are, and we could discuss the types of promises there are in to all the different ones that they give us. But and there are even books that if you are not used to knowing about the promises of God, my pastor just recently in July wrote, taught on the promises of God, and I'm not even using his script, his notes, but there are 8,810 promises, but there's all different ones, some to us, some to one person or another. But what we want to do is that I have a journal personally that is literally, it's titled My Daily Promise Journal, and I've had it for years. And what it does is it has a little calendar in it of different dates on it, and I've written down for the date, I've written the year behind it for every promise I get on that special day. And often when I get when I do my devotions, I'll pull out that book, and I will look back and see what promise the Lord had given me back on July the 19th for how many years past, and see if there was that day God did give me a special promise. And so I want you, and I cannot encourage you enough, as much as one, journal, as Eric said, have a special time of devotion time with the Lord, opening your Bible up and really just opening up the Bible and studying it, reading it, and doing devotion time and praying and journaling anything, and listen to the Lord for his voice. But then when you start to read and do maybe a daily Bible calendar, which we talked about in our last telephone conference, the Lord will have scriptures leap off the page. Or if you've written down, like I've suggested in our devotionals, questions, he will answer you, and all of a sudden there will be the answer, and it will seem like it will be blinking or lifting off the page, or the Holy Spirit will speak to you, and that's what we're asking you to do, because some of you right now are feeling very hopeless. You feel like that it's impossible circumstances, and Bob and I just did a teaching, and it's at the getting made up right now for the August teaching, and the scripture is, for nothing is impossible with God. And that word nothing means nothing. That means regardless of what your spouse is doing, saying, or has done, or what you have done, nothing is impossible with God. And that's Luke 1:37. And I want you to understand that that's God's word. And God's word is telling us a strong message. And he gave that to me at the beginning of my stand. And any time everybody says, but you got to understand this. I went to a service today with my grandchildren. We're singing into it for Vacation Bible School. And the pastor there said, you know, your family may say, you don't want to be a Christian. You don't want to do all what they say. Or, you know, you're really getting weird on us, you know, and all these different things. You need to be able to say, but I'm going to be standing for my Lord the rest of my life, and I'm going to have eternal life. And God has given me an assignment in this time to do something. And it's to stand and to fight for my marriage and for my loved ones and coworkers. You've got to choose to be a little bit different. There has to be one person that has to be the one chosen by God, and then you're going to build that ark, and then you're going to have all these people join you. But if you don't build the ark, you're not going to be able to have anybody get on your boat and join you. And so you need to understand that you've got to be different. And sometimes it's hard to be different. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, His divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And that scripture is precious to me and special, one, because God is telling us he's given us everything we need for life, that his divine power is all we need. And I think of so many scriptures that just leap off of my mind of that give us and say this all throughout the Bible with that. I think of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, where it says that, "Now to him, God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." There's that word again, his power. I hope you understand that you can't get your marriage restored because of Bob Charlene. You can't get restored or rebuilt or resurrected from the dead by Rejoice Marriage Ministries. It is by the Lord going to do it. And that is why we do the daily devotionals, to keep you encouraged with God's word. But you've got to go to the Lord. He is the one to give you that strength, and he is going to give you power from on high. He's going to speak to you. He's going to give you promises, and for you, not only for your husband or wife, but for your children. And as they grow older, as we talked and prayed today, as the children grow older, they go through trials and tribulations and or illnesses, as we have in our family with two of our grandchildren and our one son who is battling illnesses right now. And if I did not know how to pray, if I did not know how to stand on the promises of God and seek the Lord, where would I be? That was 22 years ago when the Lord healed and resurrected our marriage. So, or 20 years ago when he resurrected my marriage. But God has kept me in that you got to stand on the promises of God. And so I'm telling you, you're going to use this for the rest of your life. And we need to understand that his promises are precious. And he's given us all these promises for us to stand on, to claim, to speak, and to tell the devil to get away from us and leave us alone, because we're standing on the promises of God. And to escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And what does that sound like? It sounds like the spouse who has fallen into sin, who didn't know how to escape the corruption by the temptations of the enemy, of the world, of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and of the worldly temptations that we can all fall into. So we've got to understand there's the flesh that's going to tempt us. It's going to be the lust of the eyes, or, you know, it's the carnal flesh. God has given us divine power that we can be able to do this. And when we start reading the promises of God, we're going to feel better. We're going to feel like our faith, our hope, and our strength will increase. So you need to spend that time in the Word to get your hope and your faith and your strength increased. And if you're battling hopelessness and defeat and doubt and unbelief, all I can suggest to you, and I know you're not going to want to do it right now when you're feeling hopeless, is get into the Word of God. It's like you having to get out of bed and go to work, as I said recently. Or if it's like eating after you finally haven't eaten for 3 days, but you got to eat and drink. You've got to pick up that Word of God, and you've got to read it to be obedient. And the Lord will speak to you. The Lord will help you through this wilderness that you're in right now. But you've got to understand that you can't, you don't want to go on that detour road, and you want to stand on the promises of God, and you want your own promises. And I, please, can only ask and pray, as we have prayed before we even started today, that the Lord will give each of you, which we have so many now, we have 123 now. We need you all to have your own promises, that you could raise your hand if you were in our Bible study, and I'll say, how many of you have promises from God? And usually 90% will have them. But if they don't have them and they're new, I say go home and seek the Lord and ask him to show you. So anyhow, we just want to continue to go into 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20-22. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us by the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, he set his seal of ownership on us, and he put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. He's guaranteeing us eternal life. He's guaranteeing many things in the promises of God. And I have been standing on them for 22 years, and I can tell you, you may not get all the promises at the same time, and I'm sure Melanie, Chris, Kim, and Eric could all say, have you received all your promises yet, guys?
No.
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 But you haven't given up to receive them?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
No.
And that's the point. We have to just hang in there. You've got to stand firm. And it says, a lot of times, and what happened to me is I perish for lack of knowledge. You know what? I heard two or three of you people share that our guests say they perish for lack of knowledge marrying the wrong person, being unequally yoked. But you know what? Once you say, I do, once you say, I'm married till death do us part, God says, you're married for life, so now I'm going to turn this all around to good. In the end, I'm going to turn this around to good. I'm going to pray, and we're going to have these people, you and your children, and we're going to pray for the spouse's salvation.
Can I interrupt you a minute?
Sure.
To give you a chance to look through the questions that you've just been handed, may I answer one? This was right up my alley. Renee in Kentucky asked, I understand about free will, but what I don't understand is how can God speak to my spouse if he chooses not to listen? Renee, your spouse is listening. He may have turned down the volume, but God's going to keep calling him, and he's going to keep listening. I heard a preacher say one time, we may have free will, but God has 1,000 ways to change our free will.
That is true, and that is one of the big I think that was one of the most common comments that I had when Bob was gone, and all the people at church says, well, don't forget about his free will, and I felt like...
You know what? I wasn't forgetting about my free will. I was getting it thrown in my face every day just about by God, and that's better than you doing it, honey.
Right, and there were so many times that Bob kept... Tell him about you turning on the radio about the prodigal.
Oh, I worked at a funeral home where we all drove the same cars, and there was one radio station in this little hillbilly town. I am one, so I can say it. And every time I'd get in the car, it would be tuned to the same radio station, and that's when Hazel and Henry Slaughter had a song out, Rejoice, Rejoice, My Child is Coming Home Again, My Prodigal's Coming Home. And invariably, I would get in the car to run an errand, and that song would be on.
And that was one of my songs that I stood on and probably sang a million times because I was so determined. I said, what an awesome song. This is my song for my husband.
You know, it's not, Renee, you ask also, what if he chooses not to listen? We don't have that choice. God's going to keep speaking. He's not going to stop calling because your husband, me, or any prodigal spouse, or any disobedient Christian is not listening. He does not stop calling.
God created us, and there is a vacuum, there's a hole, unless God fills it with him. And he's going after everyone. It says he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, for all sinners, for all everybody. So even the atheist and the agnostic and all, there are, how many atheists and agnostics have we heard in days past that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Because God does not give up on anybody. And that's what your hope is, and that's what you need to know. That's a promise from the Lord. And in 2 Timothy 2:26 says, and they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. And 2 Timothy 2:22-26 is a special scripture. I've used it many times, but 26 was the exact scripture that the Lord gave me, that Bob was in Satan's will at that moment and not in God's will. And you know, there's a promise that the Lord says he gave me, and that he's given all of us. It says, call to me and I will answer you. in Jeremiah 33:3. And tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. When we all get desperate enough, and God allows us all to get to that point, and I had to get to that point, and I'm sure there's four of you that can admit that you've all had to get to the bottom to get to give up and surrender to the Lord, to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done, that we seek the Lord and say, okay, what is your will, Father? And I believe that he wants us to say, I want you to be willing and surrender to do my will and my way. Have you all had that experience yet?
Yes.
Have you had a special, when that happened, did God give you a special promise, or did he speak to you in a special way? Did you know that you were on the right road at that time then?
I had a period where I wasted a lot of, this is Melanie, by the way, where I wasted a lot of time on the floor crying, feeling sorry for myself, thinking I can't help anyone else until my problems all get solved, because I'm no use to God when I'm here wounded and rejected. I can't help it. I had a hard time even praying for anyone else because I was so obsessed with my marriage and what my husband was doing. And finally, one day, God woke me up and said, you know, keep your eyes on me. Get your eyes off of your marriage. You don't need to focus on it all the time. I'm working on that. Get your eyes on me. And I started praying, Lord, get my eyes back on you. Help me focus on you. How can I help you? You know, in James, it says, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. And I thought, how can this be an opportunity? How can I help God right now in my life? But that's what I started asking God to do, to give me opportunities to serve him. And what I found is the opportunities are coming right and left, and they're actually coming from prodigals. God is bringing prodigals into my life. I got a job. I haven't had a job in 10 years, and it was all through God's work that I was able to find a job right now with the economy like it was. And one of my coworkers is a prodigal who's been a prodigal for 30 years, and not spoken to his wife or child in that time period. And God has given me the blessing of being able to help them start on the road to reconciliation after not having spoken for 30 years. And he will bless you in ways that you have never imagined if you can just take your eyes off your marriage, let him handle your marriage and your husband, and you start just doing what he's telling you to do, and those promises will come flooding to you.
Melanie, I'm going to jump in before I ask the other people. But you may find out, or you may hear, and you may have it in your own family, but there may be family members that are the outcast, or you may be the outcast, or there may be a black sheep that has not been spoken to for a long time. Those are the ones that you need to pray for reconciliation. If not in your family, and other people that you hear about, you need to start praying for them, that God would restore these families and restore them, that the Lord would come into all of these families. I believe that we all work around people that are not saved, and I think we need to be the prayer warriors for those people. And if, Lord, if we pray for other people, don't you think God's going to move on your spouse? It's when we have that selfishness, and it's woe is me, that self-pity, is that all we can do is pray for me, 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 and fix it, fix it, fix it, Lord, now, 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 so I have no pain and suffering, and we don't care about anybody else, that I just think the Lord's saying, I want you to be a prayer warrior. I want to use you, and I've got to get you to start praying and thinking big of other people so that you can be used future-wise with your husband or wife in the future. Anybody else?
Well, I guess I can speak to that. I think that...
This is Kim.
Yeah, this is Kim. I'm sorry. Yes, this is Kim. I think that God does give us a special assignment. He gives us the assignment to stand in the gap and to pray for our spouses. But then he also says to us, while you are waiting, this is what I want you to do. And
excellent.
There's some scripture, I wish I had it on the tip of my tongue here, that we comfort others with the comfort that is given to us. I'm not sure where it is. Corinthians, perhaps? I know Paul wrote it. And I think that for me has been a really big thing. What a blessing it has been for me to be a part of Rejoice Marriage Ministries and to be able to share some of the things that I've gone through or some of the feelings that I have with other people. that already has given me the promise that God gave me earlier. He said, I'm going to turn this around for good, and he's already done that for me, and I praise and thank him for that.
It is, and it is, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. So it's really almost a command that once, you know, if you've been touched, if you've been touched by the Lord, you need to share it with other people. It's not to be a secret. Anybody else?
Yeah, I know, the day that I came down to visit at Rejoice Ministries for the Monday night Bible study, I went out walking, and just even while I was walking, a guy suddenly pulled up in his truck and stopped to talk to me. Well, okay, I had my clerics on, so, and he had marriage problems, and I was able to, again, as I have in the past, I usually carry around some of the Rejoice Ministry business cards, and was able to sort of get him to connect with Rejoice Ministries, and I've done that quite often, that, you know, you sort of feel a person that's, you know, when you're talking to them and you sort of can sense that there's some sort of problem, and usually there ends up, I sort of say, you know, it's something with your marriage or something like that. And again, even though I feel that I'm wounded, I have found much help in the scriptural reference is that, okay, has been from the website. I sort of direct other ones there so that they can get a little bit more in depth into what it means to stand for a marriage.
Mm-hmm. There was standing on the promises, and for, I guess, about 8 or 9 years when we had, it was in a church setting, we had a piano that was available, and we had a man that was one of our prayer warriors that still comes every week and prays for us while we teach, and prays specifically for all the people that we have names and special urgent needs in our chapel page. And he used to play Standing on the Promises of God. And it's an old hymn. It's in a hymnal, as some of you all have heard about hymnals. We're losing the hymnals right now in the churches. But it's Standing on the Promises of God, written by Kelser Carter, and the chorus is Standing on the Promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Now, I want to tell you, I like that word, the song, because it says the word standing, because you know what I talk about is we need to stand forever. But the one verse, and there's two verses, the second verse says, and I won't even read the first, says, standing on the promises that cannot fail when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. And to me that is so awesome, because it's saying God's word cannot, it's always going to prevail. And then the fourth verse is standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as
my all in all.
I knew, honey, you are going to...
the promises of God.
I knew when I mentioned a hymn, my hubby was going to pick up and say, God ministers to my husband through the hymnal.
Yes, he does. May I jump in and read you? There's a question, but it's also a praise report. I'm not going to give the state or the city. She's asking him about God and Ishmael children. But the part that blesses me, I still love my first husband, and only recently God has made it very clear to me and the man I'm married to now that we are living in sin, and we've come to the decision to dissolve our marriage. And I'm going to take my stand for restoration of my marriage.
Wow.
Now, her husband had children along the way, though. Do you want to talk about Ishmael children just a bit?
You know, with adultery and with sexual immorality, unfortunately, there are Ishmael babies because that's what happens when a husband, a man and a woman get together if they don't take precautions, and even if they did. There are babies that are born, and we went to Virginia on a tour just 2 years ago and met a lady that came up to me and had a restored marriage, and her husband was in a non-covenant marriage, and they had a child, and she came and she said, I want to tell you, and she wrote it, I believe, in that teaching, or she's written it somewhere in our ministry, but said that that child is part of her because it's part of her husband, and that child, now she is taking care of it because the mother was didn't want it, and they are raising this child up, and she says it's as if this child is my own, and God turned it around to good. And so many times these Ishmael babies are not, do not consider them a thorn in your flesh, but something that God has allowed, and he's going to turn it around to good, and you just need to pray, pray, pray. I know that the devil is going to say, but that means my husband or wife is going to have contact with that other person for their whole life. And yes, that may be true. I want you and I to admit that there are consequences to sin, and that is why you and I and so many others are praying for the prodigals and the teens and the adults who are living foolishly right now, that they will run from their sinful life and run into the arms of Jesus. Because if you remember David, who fell into sin and who was God, you know, loved him so much, and he fell into sin, but God punished him and allowed his first child with Bathsheba to die. And we got to understand, and I think Bob and I have to say, Bob may say, that there has been consequences to Bob's sinful lifestyle that yeah. he would have never had if he had stayed home and been pure in the bedroom undefiled. So, but I'm telling you, God will turn it around to good, as his promises say. We just have to claim Romans 8:28.
Don't be too bad on me about that. I don't have anything transmittable, but just... You didn't leave that hanging very good. About my consequences.
Well, then you finish it, honey.
I don't know. The consequences have been emotional in our children and in situations.
I agree with it. Financially, I think all of us, as every one of you, could say right now, especially in the financial conditions that this world is in, I believe, if we could just get all of the spouses to come to their senses and think of the financial reasons of just getting back together, just financially, you know, God would say, you know, you're wasting money every month if you have two different households. Mm-hmm. And that's a simple...
if the president wanted a real stimulus plan, he could outlaw divorce.
Amen.
Amen.
And think how much more money that would give, expendable income that would give everyone.
But there is pain and suffering, and there is, you know, and what I was thinking also, Bob, is the loved ones. It's not just our children,
yeah.
but there's moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas of the heartache, and through the period of time that you guys are separated or going through the process of being separated, there are a lot of events and funerals and weddings, and some of you are allowed to go to those. And some of you are allowed not to, are asked not to come.
I think practically every week we receive an email from some sender who's sitting home brokenhearted while her husband or his wife is out at one of these fair affairs, but the other person taking the place of where they should be.
And there are also people that will ask, should I go? My husband or wife has invited me, but I don't want to face that other person. And I guess that's a good question I can just jump into. Because,
by the way, you've got enough questions to do Charlene Cares for about 6 months.
I know. I'm thrilled. I'm excited about that.
Did you see the question about scriptures?
Not yet. Oh, well, you can do that one, Bob.
Okay. I don't know the answer to it. Someone's asking, you've given scriptures fast, if they could get a list of them after we finish.
Oh, okay. maybe I'll do a devotional this week on the promises of God, and I'll try to put a whole bunch of them in there. And that'll help you out. But I started to say something about what am I going to say. I just lost my train of thought, honey. What was I going to answer?
You're baiting me to say it's a very short train.
You're talking about if you were talking about if you get invited to an event and the
Thank you, Melanie.
You're welcome.
Glad you were listening. But especially now, there are so many people that are being invited. There's vacations. There's all these different events that happen throughout your life, and the summer, winter, and fall, and whatever. And some people will say, should I go? I've been invited. Should I go? Because the other person is going to be there. Please go and put the presence of the Holy Spirit on you and just say, I am going to go. I'm going to radiate my Lord Jesus Christ. I know who I am in Christ. I am the husband. I am the wife. But I'm not going to throw it down at them, because you've got to understand, your spouse has got guilt and shame, and they wish you wouldn't come, probably. But if you've been invited by either your in-laws or your brother and sister or any part of the family member, or if a funeral and you feel you should go, and you, some of these people have sat in the back and they've been offered to come up front, you need to... I mean, if my father-in-law had died when Bob and I were divorced, I would have been there. If I had to be in the back row, I would have been there, because I could not. He was my father as much as my father-in-law. He was so close to me after my dad died. We cannot just disown our in-laws, even though they're so deceived right now, and they say things and accept that other person. They're accepting that other person because they don't want to lose the child that they have. And we've got to understand the complications of that. But if at all possible, we have to swallow our pride or what we're wanting to say. But that's my spouse. You got to say, you know what, Lord, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. And pray about it. But I would say most times we have had our people go, and they have come back and say they've radiated, they've been blessed, they went, they were hugged and loved, and all the family members are thrilled to see them. And they felt so loved that they know that they aren't hated by all the circumstances of what's going on. Have any of you had that personal experience, or anybody want to share on that?
I can speak to that. This is Chris. My father-in-law was an atheist or an agnostic, or he just had no faith when we first got married. And since all of this has happened between my husband and I have been inviting him to church. It's been over a year now, and he's been coming with me every Sunday. And lately we've been, my husband and I have been having just more challenges, and Satan's been throwing a lot of things at us, and I've been tempted to just give up on everything, including calling my father-in-law. But then I'm reminded that the children need to see their grandfather and that they love him. And so God just continues to push me to call him. And even this morning, it was, 40 minutes before church was going to start, and I wasn't going to call him, but I felt the urging to call him. And it ended up that he really needed to hear the message that we had today. And it talked about doubt and, doubting that Jesus is Lord. And, I mean, it was just tailored to him. As he walked in the door, the message just went right to him. And it ended up, he and I had a wonderful afternoon, taking the kids to the park, eating ice cream cones, and it was a huge blessing. And so, yeah, don't give up on the in-laws. I'm praying that someday God will touch him, move him, and then use it, hopefully, as a tool to speak loudly to my husband about miracles, because that would truly be a miracle.
Right. Anybody else have an experience? Or
I can speak to it also. This is Kim. Having in the last 3 years married off two of my children, I have had to go and be in situations with in-laws and the non-covenant, and it has been wonderful because God has been with me, and He is there. I can feel Him, and I walk in with my head held high, and people tell me how wonderful I look and how wonderful I sound, and I keep saying, that's Jesus in me, people. That's Jesus in me. And it's just, God is there with you through those kinds of things. And had I given any thought earlier to the things that I would have to go through without my husband by my side, such as graduations and marriages and now a grandbaby, I would not have taken the road I took.
I agree. And, you know, there's that Hosea 6 and 7, which we always can pray, putting around the hedge of thorn bushes. But also, we've got to remember one important thing that I need to say about the other person. And we've got to remember that there may be, and I'm going to say this, which may shock some of you, there may be not just one person. There may be two other persons. There may be three other persons. There may be five other persons, because there is going to be nobody that's going to satisfy your husband, your wife, because there's only one person that is supposed to satisfy them, and that is the covenant spouse. That is you guys standing in the gap for your spouse and your marriage and for the father and mother to come back home. And we've got to understand that the enemy, it can be anybody. There can be any number, and it does not matter. I had to go through that, and I know that personally. And I had one person that shared or had a question about hearing that their spouse is calling him up and telling him all kinds of things and how happy he is and how, he looks fantastic. My husband lost 100 pounds when he went and had his lifestyle change. I could go on about that. And he would come in his pink shirt.
No, you couldn't.
He could go in. He would come in his pink shirt on a Saturday night, dressed up, fit to kill, and tell me, here's your check for child support, and guess where I'm taking so-and-so tonight. I'm taking them to the concert that we always used to go to every week for a Christian concert on top of it. And I would just come take it and fall down on the floor after he left and just sob, thinking, how can he be going to a Christian concert when they're committing, adultery? And it was when I had to learn what God was telling me is that he was blinded, she was blinded, and that she was not the enemy. She is not the enemy. Satan is the enemy. And it says that Satan is a liar, he's a deceiver, and he's the father of all lies. So the praise is that if your spouse will, there's two types. There's a spouse that will tell you nothing, never call you, never talk, or there's a spouse that calls up and wants to share with you, and that's the devil shooting you big guns, and you're having to, and I say it's like God saying, okay, here's what you got to pray about, and that's what Bob would do. He would call up and have a problem at midnight, and about the other person, he would call me. Because I was his best friend.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. You were his best friend, so who else would I call?
And that was a blessing in disguise.
Let me run something by you. We're an hour into it. It's 5 o'clock. So do you want to continue on beyond what we said?
Sure. If it's up to you, honey, you're in charge.
No, you're having to do the talking.
Well, we haven't run out of discussions yet, I guess.
But
I know people are going to be leaving to go to church, but whenever
the good news is that today is paid for. Two friends paid the bill before we ever had the conference call.
That is
so
a miracle.
We can talk till 7 o'clock if you wanted.
Can I say something quickly?
Definitely, no.
About what you were talking about with the prodigal showing up looking good and seeming happy. I thought this, using my trial and my circumstances would be a way of me helping standards. But like I said, I've been actually helping prodigals, so it's giving me a whole new perspective into their thinking. And outwardly, they look happy and dressed to the nines, and they look great. But the more I talk to them and the more I get to know them, all the ones I've met so far are really miserable. And we're so blessed because we are standing on these promises. We're carrying them around with us, but our prodigals don't realize these promises are available, and they're carrying around guilt and shame, and that's one of the reasons for so many addictions and them turning to other people and addictions and things, because they're not carrying around these promises with them, and I'm telling you, it's an outward look of happiness, but inwardly, everyone I've talked to that's been a prodigal is really miserable and under a load of guilt.
The same thing, Melanie.
I feel sorry for them. I used to have so much bitterness and anger toward prodigals, but now I have had such a change of heart. I really feel sorry for them.
You're right. There is no peace.
No.
God says there's no peace. He says their heart and their lives are headed to destruction. And God's word is a promise that we know that's true, and that's why we're standing in the gap. And Laura has asked, and it's, let me do a couple more questions. Is when your spouse says to you he wants his family back but doesn't know what to do, then ask me what to do. That is why we wrote the book, and we didn't do it for 19 years, but we wrote Finding the Way Home. That has got the book of more ABCs of how to come home, and Bob opens up his heart as he's never opened it up in 19 years of ministry. So Finding the Way Home is probably the best book to give anybody. And what I would say, and I wish I had this book, because Bob and I would talk at different times. Like he would say to me, "You don't understand. You know, there's no way I can correct what I've done. I can't come back into the church. I can't do this and that," which I wrote about today and we shared today. There's all these, the devil and the enemy is saying, "You can't do this, you can't do that." All the negativity, all the condemnation that is from the enemy. And Bob has written this book, and anybody can say, "You know what? I have a friend, I know somebody who's been a prodigal, who's gone through it. I'm going to give you this. I'm not going to say anything, but if there is ever a prodigal that ever wants to pick up the phone and talk to Bob, Bob's never refused talking to a prodigal. But read the book first, and then if they have any questions, Bob will answer them, because God will push them through and be able to get victory in it." Anybody else, I don't want to cut anybody else off if you have a comment before I start again.
Let's plan our time so they know where we're going to.
Okay, then you do it, dear.
Okay, do you want to go to 5:30, then have prayer 5:30 to 6?
Okay, is that all right with you?
Okay.
That's fine with me, until the kids start knocking.
any of our guests who have to leave will certainly understand it.
Okay. And how many can do it?
I can.
I'm on Central Time. It's only 4 here, so
okay.
I'm good.
I'm on Central Time, too, but we'll see if the dog can hold it.
Eric, are you all right?
I'm okay, yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'm holding the dog.
Okay. let me do a question. Linda is asking, should I tell my family or my prodigal that I'm standing? And do they need to know? They do know I still love their father. I'm going to turn the question to you guys, because I know my answer, but I'll let you guys share how you've done it, or if you've done it. Have you been bold enough to tell any of your family members or prodigal that you're standing? And do they need to know, in your opinion?
This is Chris, and yes, I've told everybody that I know, and I think it's very important that everybody knows, so that any lies that are out there about, you know, that he might say against me, they know that that's not true. I've told all my in-laws, you know, I love him, I will stand for him for my entire life, and I'm just going to keep praying for them, and they witness it. And I've told him, and it makes him angry, but he also keeps coming back. And I've told our children, and it's a comfort to them.
Yes, because the children don't have to worry about another person that they have to deal with, of a stranger working into their life, and they've got mom to themselves, or the fathers have the kids to themselves. If the fathers are being the father, being the standard, they don't have to deal with competition and dealing with all what they're having to deal with their other person. So I agree with you 100%.
But can
anybody?
I say one thing, though, with that?
Mm-hmm.
I have found that because of it, I have gotten, nobody knows what to say, because everybody wants to tell me to leave, but they know that I'm going to say I won't ever leave him, and so nobody really talks to me about it, anything. So it gets a little lonely that way, but at least they know where I stand. And I think they're all just kind of watching and waiting to see what's going to happen.
And I agree with Melanie, because that's what happens. You tell them that you're standing, and they look at you, and they kind of shake their heads. And what happens is you just don't talk about it anymore because, number one, you don't want to hear the negative things they say, and number two, they don't want to hear the things you're saying. And so they know, and if you can live with integrity and uprightness and keep walking in Christ, I mean, they're going to see by your actions that you are standing and you mean it.
I found now that I told everyone, which I started telling everyone because they were all pushing me for divorce so much I couldn't take the pressure, and I just finally said, I'm standing, and this is it, and that's that. And it's actually held me accountable because I have so many watching me now, my own children, my parents, my nieces and nephews. I've talked to pastors and explained what standing is to them, and they even shake their heads and don't understand it, but I can see all the seeds being planted, and as my stand has gotten longer and stronger. Now I have, you know, my nieces and nephews are on their 20s and just getting married, and now they're coming to me for advice on their relationships. My own parents, you know, it's amazing how many people are watching you, and when you tell the world you're standing, don't be wishy-washy. Be strong. You will find strength in the Lord. You are not alone. There are lots and lots of standers all around you, and people are watching you, and your witness is an incredible witness.
I know I have made it clear. I'd say my kids are older, and basically they're sort of a position, not wanting to take sides or anything like that. But I've made it clear to everyone that I can that I'm standing, and actually I've found there's been almost a... everyone tries to, like, talk you out of it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they come up with all kinds of reasons, and they say, "Oh, well, it's not good for you. Well, you deserve to be happy." And I said, "I will be happy. Okay, it's just not right now. The fulfillment is not here, but it will. I have those promises. But it's for me as a minister. I also look at it as I'm trying to go and encourage people to have faith and trust in the Lord, and how can I go and face them and tell them, you know, have faith and trust in the Lord, and then for me to give up? Even though it seems I find that standing sort of brings out everyone that has had a divorce or everyone that has had someone in their family that has a divorce,
yes.
And it's sort of that guilt that they sort of want to almost tear you down,
yes,
and make it so that you don't do it, because by you standing, you're making them look bad.
Yes.
Well, they feel Holy Spirit conviction on it, and they may have actually been convicted by the Holy Spirit to stand themselves, and they didn't. I know when I was standing and doing it, there were two close friends that went through a divorce the year before. And they both, on the rebound, got married very quickly. And they both said to me at separate times, they wish they had known what I had the Lord reveal to me, and they would have done it. But they said they didn't, and they repented of it, and they then were convicted that they were married into the other relationship for life, and that they would never, never, no matter what, you know, they were going to stick it out. And they both kept talking to me about it. It was something that all of them remarried. I mean, for two couples, they all remarried. Everybody married somebody else, and they didn't want to undo the scrambled eggs. But they all felt very convicted that they did not do. And then when I was standing, I would open up the Bible and say, God gave me this scripture, this scripture, this scripture, and kept, you know, saying so many different things about that the Bob would change and there would be so many promises. And, you know, there's that they didn't know what to say when I would open up the Word of God and say what God says, that in Isaiah 40, in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the wilderness of a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places become a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for in the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So many scriptures God kept giving me that God was going to break the chains and turn all the trials and tribulations around. Honey, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I did. Wait, let me read the rather lengthy question with a short answer. This person writes, I've heard some longtime Christians speak about God having different seasons in our lives. They often use this to illustrate sometimes we cry over some things or hold on to something, such as our marriages. We're failing to accept the end of our season in our lives. And they want to know, God sometimes says no to our request as he knows what is best for us. I put a Twitter entry last overnight, I think, or early this morning. God's will is never contrary to God's word. The Bible tells us distinctly God hates divorce in Malachi. And I hate divorce. And that's the only thing in the Bible that God says he hates. So it's... Go ahead.
And it says we're bound to our husbands for life. Mm-hmm. There's another scripture, just another one.
Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I finished.
It says, why are we holding on to something? Because your marriage is a covenant. You have a covenant with your spouse, with God, and you, a three-way covenant. And covenants are not broken. So it's not as simply as turning in your used car, your leased car early, and getting out of a contract. It's, marriage is a covenant. You pick up on that, honey, go on.
We've got to go back to, and I think what we're all saying right now is that we all made a commitment for life till death do us part. And it's easy to say that when you're so thrilled and happy and married and have your wedding gown on, but when you start having the fighting, the sexual immorality, the pornography, that all the secret sins are hidden sins, all of a sudden, it's very difficult. And you're saying, I made a vow for life? You know, well, I didn't mean it then, you know. But God says, yes, but you made a vow to me too. And I think we've got to understand that the enemy will use time as the enemy, as the enemy wants to use time as something to come against you. And God is saying, turn time to good. Because in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. There's the word promise. As some understand slowness, he is patient with you or your husband or your children, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And I think that we all have to understand that, you know, we must understand that when you surrender your life to the Lord and he's asking you to do something, I think, what is the best for the children? What is the best for the grandchildren? Let's go a step further. What is the best for generations to come? What is the legacy do you want to leave for your life? And what was your values, your moral values, what your beliefs? And, I made that decision. God convicted me 22 years ago to say, I'm going to be sitting in the rocking chair until I'm 80, but I knew God had distinctly told me to wait forever, and I was to serve him through it. And I kept saying, if I could just tell one person what I've learned, and God was laughing, obviously, because he had a bigger plan than I had, but, you know, I just wanted to have a Sunday school class just to share with the other ones to say, look what the Lord showed me. You know, God can heal and restore marriages. And even if it was not my marriage, I had people I would share with, like Melanie did, but I had people having their marriages restored suddenly in 2 or 3 months because I would share the scriptures, and they would not even get separated. They would just work on their problems and work it out. So we can be such a powerful witness. You can be such a powerful witness, people, by what you're learning, and you need to share it, you need to speak it, and not keep it a secret. That's sort of the consensus of all of you, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, we're getting, Bob says stop at 5:30. It's about, we need to start praying. So I have got a list of questions here that have overflowed us. So we will get to your questions sooner or later in the ministry. Is that right, Bob?
I'm sorry.
We're going, it's time to pray, really, or we're going to run out of time. Everyone stop at 5:30, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And
coincidentally, we had a question. It was really a question. Since we were having a discussion about in-laws, Standard's father-in-law called her home by mistake.
Wow. It's always going to be his home. She's always going to be considered. That's neat. God is good. What we want to do is, I think we could talk for hours. Mm-hmm. In a living room, in a setting where you guys are listening and your hearts are bleeding. We just want to say to all of you, we admire you. We think you have been chosen. We believe the enemy has come against you and your marriages. The devil is trying to say that divorce is okay and it's in your family and it's in all our families.
And the church is saying it. Society is saying it.
But we got to go back to what the Word says and what God is saying to you and to us and standing on the promises of God. We need to get back to that, not to escape from the corruption of the world, of the evil desires of our flesh, and we've got to go back to the holiness and the Christ-likeness that our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to live each and every day. And that's what we're not doing. We are running from the Christ-likeness, and we're compromising and saying, you know what, we can have it different. So I just can't encourage you all enough. Bob and I are thrilled to be able to do these telephone conferences.
We're thrilled and we're honored that God uses us.
Oh, honored.
As imperfect as we are, why should he choose us?
But we want to tell you, don't ever give up. God is going to be there with you, and he knows, and we just cannot encourage you to seek the Lord to get his promises. And I pray that when you do your Saturday testimonies, if God gives you a promise, please share it and put it in there, and we'll have scriptures in those Saturday testimonies. I would love to have you guys share. You know, after we had the telephone conference, I sought the Lord this week for a new promise, another promise, or a new one, the first one. And share it this next Saturday. We would love to hear what the promises of God that God has given you all, because it will minister to other people.
Regarding the standard who wanted scriptures for today, if everything goes as planned, we'll take the audio from this and put it online at forgivethem.net, I think it is, Sonny?
Yes.
Forgivethem.net, and that will be up there by 9 o'clock tonight, so you can go back and listen to any of it you wish, or download it from there.
Oh, that'll be great, Bob. That'll be super. But we're honored and thrilled, and we'll go into prayer, and we're just going to pray God to move on many, many thousands and thousands of marriages, as well as your marriages. And you know what? We need this for the children. We need it for the grandchildren and the future generations. So don't ever give up.
By the way, your granddaughter's gone now. She was sitting here taking in every word. She's listened on another phone since 4 o'clock.
Well, that's a miracle. Because we want our kids and grandkids to all get this forever and ever for their own life.
That's why a couple questions weren't addressed, in fact, because she was there.
James chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature." I just kissed my granddaughter goodbye. "And complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." Lord, we just are coming to you, and we're asking you to help us to just speak to these dear standards, every one of them that are listening to you, that are here, that have cried out to you, that are crying right now while they're there. Their heart is hurting, feels like it's broken in two and bleeding. They're crying out and saying, "Why, Lord? Well, how long, Lord? Look at the circumstances, Lord. Look at my finances. Look at my health. Look at all what people are saying about me. and about our family. Lord, I feel like it's hopeless. Oh, I pray that I wasn't even able to list all the scriptures that I had. But God, nothing is impossible with you. And Lord, I just pray that what God has done for Bob and so many other marriages in the last 19 years we've been in ministry, God is going to move mightily and quickly on your spouse. Lord, we pray you would touch that spouse's heart and heart and turn it to a heart of flesh. Oh, Lord, may we all, or it says two or three are gathered together, it is done. May we all pray every day that the heart and hearts of the prodigals would be softened, and that they would turn their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and follow the laws of the Lord. And that would mean run from adultery, run from pornography, run from alcohol. Oh, Lord, we just ask that you will just move mightily, and we just give you the praise and the glory. And we're just going to do popcorn prayers of just everybody just praying little sentences, and we'll pray until 5:30.
I would like to start. This is Kim. This is something that came to me as I'm on the phone here. And I would like to pray especially for those standers who have been waiting a long time, as we were talking about the waiting. Amen. And how difficult the waiting is. And God gave me Habakkuk 2:3. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. But the version that I like the best is the CEV, the Contemporary English Version. It says, at the time I have decided, my words will come true. You can trust what I say about the future. It may take a long time, but keep on waiting. It will happen.
Whoa. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I'd like to pray on behalf of my Northeast Standards group. It's a group of men that gather together that have gone down, and actually a number of us have been to Pompano Beach, and we meet actually this coming Tuesday. We're going to have another meeting, and pray for all their families and for their strength. I received a request from one for pray on behalf of Tom and Nikki in Wisconsin that they too would have the restored marriage. There's many of us that are asking the Lord to move those mighty mountains, throw them into the sea, and bless us with his healing power. We come to the Lord knowing that he gives us the promise that all things are possible for him who believes, and we trust on his promises that he can change the hearts that are hardened against us, to turn them back to us, so that by the power of Jesus we might have that renewed fellowship with our wives and come together again to his praise and to his glory, to witness to others that there is help, hope out there, and that marriages can be saved. This we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'd like to pray for all the standers who are experiencing a lot of anger or frustration. Maybe they're holding on to bitterness and confusion, and it feels like circumstances are out of control. I just pray, God, that you would release them from the anger and the bitterness and the confusion, that you'd just settle over them with a sense of your peace, and that you would speak to them through the storm as you did so often to Job as he was suffering. Speak to them, Lord, and comfort them. Bring them out of that so that they can get back on track and apply all those wonderful things that you've given us in our life, like love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Lord, just wash over all the standards out there who are struggling with those sins right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'd also like to pray for all the standers out there that they will stay strong, that they will trust in the Lord, that they will remember what it says in Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. I pray that the Lord will strengthen standers everywhere and that the Lord will release prodigals from the bondages of their sins, and that we will see a revival of marriages all over the world. In the name of Jesus I pray, amen.
Lord, we pray that you will lead our loved ones to good, wholesome, godly Christian friends that will lift them up and continually point them to you. remove from their lives all the wrong people and bring in the right ones, and release the ones that you have already destined to help them, and may they obey what you have asked them to do.
Lord, watch over the children. Put a hedge of protection around them so that nothing can get through to them and harm them. Make them blind to the things that are happening and deaf to the words that might be sounding around them. Lord, help them to continue to grow during this time and not shrink back. Boost them up and use them for your glory. Help them to recognize the love and faithfulness of the spouse that is standing and praising you and trying to bring you glory. Lord, bless the children. Please protect them.
Lord, we also ask you to reach out to those others that are separated and divorced, that they would turn to you and also commit themselves to standing and staying for their marriages, instead of taking the worldly view that it can be thrown away and then they can start anew, because within their heart it will still be there. So for them, remove the hardness that they have, that they can see, even though that they have been wronged and by their spouse, that there can be hope and that there can be forgiveness for whatever sins that have been committed, and because you have forgiven all our sins in Jesus, and by that power of his forgiveness, we can forgive others of whatever they have done to us. Let them open their eyes to see that there is another way, and that there can be restoration as an option other than what the world would give us with divorce. This we ask in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, we pray that you will help us to keep our soft heart, our hearts soft and believing and trusting in your mighty power. As it says in Ezekiel, take our hearts of stone and replace them with hearts of flesh. And please, Lord, give us a new heart, a heart willing to forgive and a heart that loves like you.
Lord, please speak to the prodigals. Open up the doors of their prison and bang it again and again so that they get so that you get their attention. Show them the door is open and show them the way out. And Lord, please don't stop. Just continue to have mercy on them. And for all of us who are standing and praying for our spouses, I just beg that you just don't give up on that person. In Jesus' name.
Lord, my heart is overflowing with love and compassion for my fellow standers. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them to my life. Thank you for these circumstances that have brought me closer to you, Lord. I wait with patient enthusiasm for what you are about to do. In the name of Jesus.
Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and pray for our marriages and all marriages around the world that are experiencing separation or divorce or strife or non-covenant marriages. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you have provided us through Rejoice Marriage Ministries and for Bob and Charlene, who give of themselves so selflessly. I always like to call them my Aaron and her, holding up my hands when I am too weak or too broken to hold them up myself. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we just come to you and we are just overwhelmed with joy of all the people that have joined in today, who have really just needed to have hope and encouragement. And I know that you have touched them. It's not been us, but that we have prayed that the Holy Spirit right now will continue to touch you when you hang up this phone, that you will just get on your knees or just cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I just need that promise. I just need another word. I just need you to feel your love, your presence, your encouragement, that I can just hold on. And may we not think of the months or years that we may have to wait, but for your promise to come to pass, but may you just take one day, 1 hour at a time, as Bob and I, and we have shared, Lord, this month with our wedding anniversary, of our remarriage wedding anniversary, I had really no way of knowing that Wednesday afternoon we were going to be be remarried, or I wore my wedding dress that day if I did. But Lord, you've got a perfect plan and a purpose, and we just pray that these standards will just not let the enemy have the battle for their mind, that you will just have them just trust in you 1 hour, 1 moment at a time, and that they would grow in the Lord, that they would surrender themselves to saying, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And Lord, that they would be the, come and say, Lord, change me to be the husband and the wife, or the wife that I need to be. Change me to be the mother or the father that I need to be in the meantime. Oh, Lord, we pray, Bob and I and these people pray right now, these dear guests, that the ones, the mothers and the fathers who do not see their children, that some way, somehow, you will restore and turn the hearts of the fathers and the mothers to their children, and the hearts of the fathers and the mothers of the children to their mothers and fathers. Father, there are so many children that are not seeing or speaking to their parents, and so many parents that are not speaking to their children for multiple reasons, because of the divorce and because of all these issues, restraining orders and a million other different devil's lies and problems that comes with divorce, Lord. Lord, that's my heart. My burden in my heart is that we have a spouse, two spouses divorcing, but I don't want the children to be divorced from their parents, that other parent. We just pray that even though there's such anger and bitterness of what they've done, that we don't hold back that relationship with that other parent. Lord, it's hard. So many parents are having to take their children over to the other parent with another person in the house living in sin. How do you deal with that, Lord? How do you handle it? Lord, you have to tell us. You helped me through it, and we all have gone through it one way or another. Lord, we need big miracles. We just pray you would block and stop all of this unfaithfulness, all the sexual immorality, all of this selfishness, this greed, all of this, me, myself, and I, is more important than my kids being exposed to all of this. So, Lord, we just pray that you will move the mountains of circumstances, and just pray that thousands and hundreds and thousands of marriages would be restored each and every day of the year, Lord. We just want you to have just a victory in touching hearts and souls and minds, bringing back marriage to be a priority and not an escape hatch of separation, divorce is an escape hatch that's accepted by the church now. We just want to stand up and say, no, let's get restoration in our churches, and that our churches all will be the lighthouses for restoration in around the world. And Lord, you said, I am the Lord, I've called you into righteousness. I will take hold of your right hand in Isaiah 42, verse 6. I will keep you and I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free the captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. That's explaining all the prodigals right now, Lord. But you say in verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I am declaring. Before they spring into being, I am announcing them to you. So may that scripture, may that promise of God is announcing things to you that before they even take place, that your marriage is going to be restored. He's given you promises today, dear Stander. So may you stand on that, and may you keep praying for that your spouse's eyes would be open, and that the Lord will go and open that prison door and take him by the hand and say, this is the way out. I'm going to show you one step at a time, and I will be with you. Even when we restore this marriage, it's going to take time to go through the healing and the restoration, the rebuilding one brick at a time. But Lord, you are faithful and you're going to do it all. And we just give you the praise and the glory. And we are praising you and thanking you because we want you to get all the glory and honor for every one of these marriages to be restored. And we pray that the ones that have restored marriages, that they would start speaking up, that they would start sharing Saturday testimonies of how great God is moving in their lives, that we would have the couples that have restored marriages to start writing Monday devotionals and sharing what God is doing in their lives. Lord, we want the marriages that are being restored and are restored to rise up and to lift up these standards and tell them it does work. And Lord, that's where we want the breakthrough in our ministry, is that the prodigals, the spouses that get restored, that they don't disappear into silence and not share with these other standards. Lord, we love you and we just thank you. Thank you for these two special people who have blessed us today to pay this today. You are such a provider, God, and we pray that you will touch all the men and women around the world that are having financial problems, because there's many standards that are praying for jobs, and Lord, you are the provider, and we pray that you will provide for them to get jobs suddenly, quickly, as Melanie got a job suddenly and quickly. We pray for all husbands and wives and all standards to get jobs, to get their income increased, that they can pay all their bills. Lord, you can multiply it out as nobody can explain it. And Lord, we ask that you would meet the people who are ill, who are battling illnesses and pain and suffering. Lord, we ask that you would be the Jehovah Rapha and you would heal their bodies from the top of the head to the bottom of their toes. By thy stripes we are healed. God says in Psalm 103, I will heal all diseases. And we want you to be healed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you that you are going to be our defender. You're going to be our provider. You're going to be all that we need. You are our refuge. You are our fortress. You are going to hold us through it. And the ones who feel hopeless and the ones who are discouraged today, we pray that this hour and a half plus has given you hope and encouragement, that you will go open up that word and start looking up the word promises and start standing on the promises of God like never before and speak it out loud and walk in faith. And I pray, Lord, you will bless them. You will encourage them. I pray that everybody that has made the effort to be on this telephone today and sacrifice this time, that you will bless them abundantly beyond what I can even begin to imagine, in ways that we cannot even begin to imagine, because you're going to show them that you are alive, you're real, and God does speak to his children. And we'll just give you the praise and the glory of what you're going to do. And we thank you that you're moving on that other side of that mountain. You are touching husbands and wives right now, their hearts. We thank you that you're touching those prodigal children who have walked away from their moms and dads and their families and disappeared, maybe not even know where they are. We pray you would deliver all children and spouses from alcohol and drugs and adultery and any addiction of any sort. They may be all set free by the God who is able to set us free from everything, from all bondages. And Lord, we love you. We worship you. We praise you. And we just thank you for what you have done today. And we just give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Melanie, Chris, Kim, Eric, you have all been such a blessing today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you for inviting us. Mm-hmm.
Can I just, I'm sorry to do this, but can I just add one more tiny prayer?
Yes.
We've got so many people on the phone with us right now, and it could be so powerful. I don't want to miss this opportunity to pray for President Obama, that God would speak to him about marriage, that God would help Obama recognize in his own life his commitment to his wife and to his children and how important that is for society, and move him to do something.
Amen.
I just pray that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Honey, you want to have a closing of anything?
No, don't. That's all right.
But anyway, we love you all. We praise the Lord for what he's accomplished today, and we praise the Lord that Bob felt led to extend it. So you've got an extra blessing with that.
And thanks for you guys staying with us for the extra time.
Really. We just praise the Lord.
No
and
problem.
May you all be blessed and have a blessed new week.
Okay, Eric.
You too.
Do you want to try to do the Lord's Prayer all together?
Yeah.
Okay, Eric, will you lead us?
Okay.
Okay, hang on just a second. Let me unmute everyone. This gets noisy and loud and reverberating and echoing and...
Hello.
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 Heaven. I will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Oh,
If we can help you in any way, we invite you to visit the website of Rejoice Marriage Ministries at www.rejoiceministries.org. Thanks for joining us today as we proclaim that God heals hurting marriages.